Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Scripture Verse by Verse is a ministry that teaches the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation, verse by verse. It's what I've been doing now for over 30 years, and you can study the entire Bible, three complete series going through the Bible, study at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages. And that's found at the BibleVerseByVerse.com, the Scripture Verse by Verse website found at the BibleVerseByVerse.com. I hope you check it out. In the meantime, I hope you can stick with me right now because we are going to pick up right where we left off, and that's the book of John, chapter 6, verse 60. So let's pray and get right into the Word of God. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And it's not that what Jesus said was hard for them to understand. Jesus spoke very clearly. It wasn't hard for them to understand. The point is, it was distasteful for them to hear. They didn't want to hear it. They're saying, who can stand here and listen to this offensive talk? Of course, Jesus knew what the reaction would be before he said it. But he said it because it is true. Yes, he claimed to be God in no uncertain terms. His enemies knew that he was claiming to be God. And that's why they sought to kill him. There's no mistake about it. Jesus claimed to be God. The Gospel of John teaches it over and over and over again. And the people just, you know, they didn't want to hear it. You're the only way to heaven? We have to eat your flesh and drink your blood to get into heaven, to have eternal life? Which, of course, he meant receive him as Lord and Savior, assimilate him. And he made it clear. And he will continue to clarify it. Again, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" And disciples here refers to the crowd, not to the 12. The crowd did not like to hear Jesus say that he came down from heaven. And they did not like to hear him say that people needed to eat his flesh. They didn't like to hear him say that you had to believe in the name of the Son of God. They didn't like to hear that kind of stuff. So 61 and 62, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" They didn't like him saying that he descended down from heaven. Well, if they stick with him, they're going to see him when he ascends back up into heaven. That should take care of that problem, right? Maybe that would change your opinion of him. Verse 63. "It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The flesh doesn't help at all. If you could eat his skin and drink his literal blood, it would not save you from hell. And that's what he's saying. The only thing that eating the literal flesh of Christ would do for these people is probably make them sick. Eating his body, literally, cannot save them. Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. The flesh counts for absolutely nothing. He's speaking spiritually. That's what he's speaking. Notice 63 again. "It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing." And here he is, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And then he says in verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. And it's not that some of these people could not believe the words of Jesus Christ. It's that they would not believe his words, and they would not, therefore, believe in him and accept what he said about himself. He spoke clearly enough. Some just didn't want to believe what he said. Jesus did not speak in some sort of esoteric New Age babble. He spoke truth, plain and simple truth. And God has given everyone the ability to receive truth. Those who don't, choose not to. Verse 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. Jesus just insulted the pride of man, which thinks that it can earn salvation on its own. He just shot holes in that theory, because everything good, anything good that we are, that we do, is a gift of God's grace, including even the willingness to come to Christ. As I said last time, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of somebody who's hungry for truth. He'll stir your heart to see that Jesus is the only way, if you're hungry for truth. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. These disciples were not very committed to Christ. They may have followed him in a superficial way for some reason, probably to get food, as I mentioned last time, because he fed the multitude with a few loaves of bread and fishes. But they did not follow him because they appreciated who he was. We know that because as soon as it became uncomfortable, they left. Now, if you know that Jesus is the Son of God, the only way to heaven, the only Savior, if you know that deep down in your heart, you really believe that, you're not going to walk away from him for anything. Even if he says stuff that makes you uncomfortable. Even if he says stuff that makes you very uncomfortable and makes you feel guilty about your sin, you're not going to walk away from him. And we're going to see that the disciples, the 12, did not walk away from him. But there's a huge crowd of people here that were following Jesus, that he fed. He fed supper, and they thought they were going to get breakfast. And then he started talking to them about a commitment to him. They didn't like that. They weren't interested in a commitment to Christ. They wanted food from Christ. So notice, verse 66 and 67, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Boy, Jesus knew how to empty a church, didn't he? Yep. You talk about church growth techniques? How about giving out the truth and seeing a lukewarm church empty? Except for maybe a couple of faithful, true believers. But Jesus knew how to empty a church. Give out the pure truth to a bunch of lukewarm, at best, followers of Christ, and they're going to run away and not come back. They're going to go down the street, find some modern evangelical church that specializes in entertainment and watered-down mush for messages that makes them feel comfortable in their lukewarmness. So, he got rid of that bunch. The Word of God separates the true believers from the false. It separates the lukewarm from the genuine. You might as well just preach the truth of God's Word. You might as well just teach it straight. So you're not attracting people who are not interested in God's Word, really, and then have to deal with the trouble that they cause. So, Jesus spoke the truth. He wasn't trying to get rid of these people, but he spoke the truth and they left. And now Jesus wants to know if the 12 are going to leave as well. Notice verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Everybody else is left. You 12 are the only ones left. You know, I've lost maybe 15,000 people here with this one message. You guys are going to leave too? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter is saying, if we leave you, we are damning ourselves to hell. 12 out of maybe 15,000 wanted truth enough to stay with Christ, and that's it. No wonder when referring to his people, Jesus called them his little flock. 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. They believe and they know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And that's why they would not leave. Anyone who'd walk away from Christ and no longer call themselves a Christian is a lost soul. They don't believe that he's the Son of God, or they have sinned so much that they don't care. They become so cold, so hard, that they don't care. Verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now, Peter claimed to be speaking for all 12 in verse 68 and verse 69. But Jesus corrects Peter's thinking here. He should not be so confident that all 12 are true believers, because even one of the 12 is a devil. Verse 71. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Judas would betray him even before Judas knew that he would betray him. Chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Several months pass between chapter 6 and 7. And Jesus stayed up north, because the Jewish leaders down around Jerusalem hated him and were looking for opportunities to kill him. Verse 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. The Feast of Tabernacles was held down south in Jerusalem. And the Feast of Tabernacles came at harvest time. And it was a fun time. I mean, it was a happy holiday, a happy holy day. Its purpose was to remind the Israelites that someday their Messiah would reign on his throne, and a saved Jewish nation would enjoy peace and prosperity. Verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart from here, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. These guys were blood relatives, but they were not saved. Blood relatives, but they were not saved. They said, go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem and do some miracles. See, they didn't like Jesus. They were probably jealous of him. But there's no other reason to dislike Jesus. You have to be jealous of his popularity at this time, or something else, because he never did anything wrong. There's no good reason to not like Jesus. But they didn't like him. And they tell him to go to Jerusalem. And what did I just say? The Jewish rulers down there were after Jesus to kill him. And now here's his brothers, half-brothers, telling him to go down to Jerusalem. Is it possible that they wanted the Jews to arrest him, maybe even put him to death at this time? I like Jesus' response. We'll see it in a minute. Verse 4, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If you do these things, show thyself to the world. Talk about not understanding Christ. They thought Jesus did miracles to become famous. Maybe that's why they would have done them, if they could have done them. But that's not why Jesus did them. But that's what they thought. They thought Jesus was doing miracles to become famous. So they said, here's your big chance, Jesus. Go to Jerusalem, where the really big crowds are. Do your miracles down there, or you'll be famous. Like, that's what he wanted. It is not. Verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And I would say that it maybe stung Jesus just a little bit, don't you think? When his own relatives did not believe in him. His mother, of course, believed in him, knew who he was. But they evidently did not believe her either. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Every day, every second of Jesus' life operated on a prearranged schedule. He followed the Father's schedule to perfection. His brothers did not care about God, so they were on their own schedule. They could go anytime. They could go anytime, anywhere, because they were just doing their own thing. But Jesus had to wait for his Father's time. Verse 7. Let's read 6 along with it. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that its works are evil. Now, the world that Jesus mentions here refers to the system that man has built that excludes God and his Son. It's talking about the culture, the art, the education, the entertainment, and the religion that excludes God and his Son. That system, that worldly system, did not hate the Lord's brothers because they were a part of it. But it certainly did hate Jesus because he spoke the truth. Verse 7 again. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that its works are evil. This world is morally depraved. The sinless Son of God entered this world and showed people how sinful they are, but instead of repenting and crying out to God for mercy, they killed him. They hated him. He was trying to save them from hell, from destruction, from damnation. So he told them the truth to wake them up, and they hated him for doing it. That's how depraved they were. That's how depraved the impenitent people of this world are today, too. I don't water down the word. I speak the pure word of God. If people can't tolerate the pure word of God, if they're not interested in it, well, then go your way. That's up to you. That's what Jesus said. He let them go their merry way. But I'm not going to water down the word of God just because most people don't want to hear it. What difference does that make? Jesus said what the Father wanted him to say, and that should be true of every Bible teacher. Verse 8. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. Fallen man just loves religious routine and ritual. And that's because they can observe them and feel very religious without ever repenting and having a heart for God. Religion is like an inoculation for the real thing. It gives you a little bit of taste of God. It gives you some religion without really repenting. So you don't have to change your lifestyle. You don't have to change your attitude. You certainly don't have to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You've got your religion. And so fallen man, sinful man that doesn't want to repent, loves religious routine and rituals. They can take part of it. They can feel religious. They can scratch that itch without ever repenting, without ever changing their ways, and without having a heart for God. And that's exactly the way it was for the Lord's brothers. They would go to the religious festival, unsaved as could be, anti-God as anybody could be. Their brother, their half-brother, is God manifest in the flesh, and they hated him. So now they hate him, and yet they're going to go to the religious festival. That just goes to show that you don't have to be saved to go to a religious church or festival or anything like that. They're going to go to the religious festival, but they are rejecting the Word of God and the Son of God who is standing right there in front of them. Verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee, but not for long, only until the Father said it was time for him to go. And notice verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Sometime, I don't know how long, but sometime after his brothers left for that feast, Jesus himself goes in a quiet sort of way to that feast. He would not miss that important feast because it was mandated by God. But he didn't want any trouble at this time. So he went quietly, you know, kind of secretly. Trouble will come, but it's not the Father's time yet. So he's going to avoid it. Verse 11, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? These are most likely the rulers who are wondering, where is Jesus? He certainly is going to come to this feast. Where is he? And of course, they were hoping to kill him. Verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So there's a lot of talk about Christ. And some people were taking sides, and some were on the wrong side. Verse 13. However, no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. The Jewish leaders had the common people intimidated. And that's why those who believed in Christ would not admit it publicly. The leaders, the religious leaders, could make life very miserable for the people that they did not like. And they would not like anyone who followed Christ. Verse 14. Now, at about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The first 3 days of the feast passed by. No one saw Jesus. And that's why they started to wonder if he would even show up. He was there, but he was kind of blended in with the crowd. And he did show up. And then he started to teach. Verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? In other words, Christ did not attend any other great religious schools of that day. And that's where they were amazed at his depth of understanding concerning the Old Testament and his ability to teach, too. 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Jesus is not taking credit for his great teaching. He gives credit to the Father. He gives credit to the Word of God. He says, I'm just saying what my Father tells me to say. And you know, that's the way to be. He's giving credit to God, the Father, and he's giving credit to the Word of God. That's where the power is. Even today, the power is in the Word of God, not in the one who speaks it. Some people try to add to the power of God's word by screaming when they teach it. But Isaiah 42:2 says concerning Christ, he will not cry out or raise his voice. The power is not in the volume. The power is in the pure word of God spoken without apology. spoken without being watered down. That's where the dynamite is. And it's powerful. It's very powerful. Powerful to turn people off if they hate truth and draw people to Jesus if they love truth. But if you water down the Word of God, neither one of those are going to happen. You're going to end up with a lukewarm bowl of mush that's useless. 17. Jesus says, if any man will, this is a beautiful verse. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Here's a key thing for you to remember. A willingness to obey is the thing that opens our eyes to understand truth. If a person really wants truth, God will reveal it to them. If they hunger for truth because they want to obey it, God will reveal it to them. Verse 18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Jesus had no personal agenda. His motives were pure and simple. Get out God's truth. Proclaim the Word of God. His motives were pure. And that's why his message was pure. If your motives aren't pure as a Bible teacher or pastor, then your message isn't going to be pure either. Because you're either trying to draw attention to yourself, get money for yourself, get popularity for yourself, impress someone, and you are going to water down the word, you are going to twist and leave things out that will hinder that from happening, and you will even make stuff up to make it happen. If your motives aren't pure, your message will not be pure. If your motive isn't to glorify God by proclaiming his truth no matter what, if that's not your motive, then you're going to water down truth. Verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The rulers had been glorying in the fact that they possessed the written word of God. They had the word of God. And they just thought that made them very special. No, it made them privileged. But they thought they were cut above everybody else because they had the written word of God. They must have forgotten that just having the law of God, just having the word of God, doesn't do anyone any good if they don't keep it or if they don't care about it. And they were not keeping it. In fact, they were plotting the sin of murder against the Son of God. Far from keeping the Word of God, they were plotting to commit murder. And yet they still felt wonderful about themselves because they were so religious. You know, I think I'm going to stop right here for today. We'll pick it up in verse 20 next time. Do want to remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out. Study the whole Word of God at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember, this ministry is brought to you by your prayers and financial support. Not underwritten by a large church or denomination, never have been, and depend completely and totally on you, your prayers, and your financial support. So please pray for me, pray for the Word of God, pray for this ministry, and also click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Whatever you do, though, study the Word of God, okay? It'll change your life. It's there for you. Study the Bible. Get to know God. Get to know His Son. Strengthen your holiness. Strengthen your faith. Increase your joy. It all comes from the Word of God. One more time, that's the Bible, versebyverse.com. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.